If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me, please, to Galatians chapter number 4, the book of Galatians chapter number 4. I've got several things I want to share with you today, and kind of got a heart full and a lot of different scripture I want to look at. We've been preaching, we started last Sunday morning on the subject of Abba, Father, talking about that close relationship that we can have. It started in the garden when Jesus was crying out to his Father, and he cried out, Abba, Father. And then we looked last week in the book of Romans and on Wednesday night where Paul said, Abba, Father, as he was writing to the church at Rome. Then the third time, it's only used three times in the Bible, is found in the book of Galatians. But the title of the message today will not be Abba, Father. When I looked at the verse, beginning to prepare for this morning, there was a phrase that jumped out at me. The phrase is, because ye are sons. Because ye are sons. There was a lot that went on in my life because John Vannoy was my dad, because I was his son. But I want you to know there's been a lot went on in my life since I became a child of God, since I was born again, since I was adopted into the family of God, because ye are sons. Stand with me and reverence the Word of God, and want to read one verse of Scripture, verse 6 of chapter number 4. The Bible said, and because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son. You remember Jesus said, I'm going to go away, but he said, I'm going to send you another comforter. I'm going to send you one just like me. How many's glad we have the Holy Spirit? What would we do? What would we do? How would we make it if we didn't have him in our bosom? The Bible said, he sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. I'm going to talk to you a little while on this subject because you're sons. You can be seated. Father, thank you this morning for the reading of the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, this morning that, Lord, you sent your Son. Thank you, Lord, that not only did you send your Son, but you sent your Spirit. And God, that in days like these, we need He, the Holy Spirit, to show up. We need Him, Lord, to rise up in our hearts, rise up in our worship services. Help us, Lord, along the way. God, I pray this morning in the name that's above every name that you would speak to our hearts. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to begin this morning by saying there's three things that we understand, I believe, as the children of God, and we understand because we are sons. The first thing I want to magnify in the book of Galatians is we understand the purpose of the law. Beloved, when somebody gets caught up in legalism, and I believe it's possible even for a genuine child of God to get caught up in legalism, then, beloved, they don't understand the purpose of the law. The Bible said in Galatians chapter number 3, as we're looking at the purpose of the law, verse 23 and verse 24, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. A son of God, somebody that's been born again, somebody that God has adopted into his family, needs to understand the purpose of the law. Some people go overboard into legalism, and some people go overboard into grace, and they never preach the law. But the law is our schoolmaster. The law is what points us to the need of Christ. I don't know if you've seen it in the news this week, but there's a big discussion going on. They decided in Louisiana that in the schoolrooms, they're going to put up the Ten Commandments. I say hallelujah. Amen. Maybe we'd be putting less kids in the prisons if we'd put more commandments in the schoolroom. And then I got on the news, and there was some commentators. You know how they do. And Brother Jason, you can just hush. Amen. I'm going to watch a little news along. Amen. Hey, first message you ever preached here, I believe. He got on Fox News, Brother Dwayne. That takes a lot of grit, don't it? Amen. Amen. I love that boy over there. Amen. Brother Jason's a blessing to me. But they got to discuss it, and they said, why, them Ten Commandments ain't even got nothing to do with Christianity. That's Jewish. That's under the law. Honey, them Ten Commandments got everything to do with Christianity. Say amen. They wouldn't have none of us come to Christ if God hadn't said, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. Amen. You remember the rich young ruler? Jesus gave him a couple of the commandments. He said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Well, there's one he didn't keep. That's have no other gods before me. Amen. His riches caused him to hang his head and go away sorrowful, even though Jesus loved him and would have saved him. But Jesus put it to him like it was. Amen. He knew where his heart was. You go over there in Galatians. I'm sorry. You can go over there in the book of Deuteronomy and see in verse chapter 6 and verse 4 and 5, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. You can't do that and love your money at the same time. Amen. 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 Beloved, the Bible didn't say money's the root of all evil. It said the love of money. There's people that love it that ain't got it. That's all they live for is money. But God gives us a purpose. Amen. We understand the purpose of the law was to point us to Jesus. I remember I was talking about the illustration there with Jesus and the rich young ruler. My grandpa was just an old farmer. He didn't have much education at all. As a matter of fact, when God called him to preach, he couldn't even read. And he begged God to help him read. My grandmother had been reading the Bible to him at the kitchen table. And he was in the corn crib when he surrendered. He said, God, you're going to have to help me to read. And he went and he surrendered to preach. And Grandpa would visit Brother Jason like we do. And he was talking to a man on the front porch. And that man said, Brother Jason, he wanted to be saved. And my Grandpa, he looked at him and he said they were both sitting there in rockers on the porch. And Grandpa looked at him and said, God will save you, but here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to get out of that chair and get down on your hands and knees. And you're going to have to crawl out through that yard and waller with them pigs and crawl back over here. And he said, if you'll do that, God will save you. He said, that man got out of that rocker and started crawling towards that. He said, come here. He said, you don't have to do that. I just needed to know you were serious. Amen. I'm telling you, when a person needs to be saved, they can do anything if they can just get saved by the grace of God. That might be a country boy's way of looking at it. But Grandpa knew right quick that old boy wanted to be saved. He willing to go out there and waller with them pigs. Honey, before we got saved, we was already wallering with the pigs and we didn't know it. Say amen. We was in the muck and we was in the mire. A person that understands, because you're sons, we understand the purpose of the law. The second thing we understand, because we're sons, is we understand our position in the Lord. Honey, I'm not going to heaven because I'm a preacher. I'm not going to heaven because I read my Bible. I'm not going to heaven because I pray. I'm not going to heaven because I try to tell others about Jesus. But I'm going to heaven because I'm in Christ and He's in me. Glory to God. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, there's a lot of people that's mixed up. But listen, the purpose of the law was to point us to Christ. And we need to understand that. And we need to understand our position in the Lord. Look at Galatians 3:26 for just a moment. Don't notice what the Bible said right here. The Bible said, for ye are all children of God by joining the church. by getting baptized, by giving some money. No, 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 no. For you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Listen, look up here, listen to me just a minute. Here's what the world says. We're all God's children. No, 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 no. We're all God's creation. But you can only be God's child through a birth, a spiritual birth, a new birth. You must be born again. Brother Jason preached a wonderful message in revival over there and said that somebody asked this old preacher, said, how come you're always preaching on you must be born again? He said, because you must be born again. Amen. What's wrong with that? Say amen. Nicodemus is glad Jesus didn't water it down. Nicodemus is glad Jesus told him like it was. Amen. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. I'm telling you, our position in the Lord is obtained by faith. Sirs, the Philippian jailer said, what must I do to be saved? Paul didn't stutter. He didn't hesitate. He didn't say, somebody bring me them encyclopedias. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Paul said in one place, I believe he was writing to the church at Corinth, he said, I fear that Satan should beguile you from the simplicity that's in Christ. I'm telling you, beloved, you have Jesus, you're heaven bound to hammer down. If you don't have Jesus, then you're never going to see the gates of heaven. Amen. Beloved friend, our position in the Lord, it's obtained by faith. But then secondly, it's ordained to fellowship. Look in verse number 6. The Bible said, and because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Beloved, God wants to fellowship with you. Do you want to fellowship with Him? Amen. That's what that Abba, Father, that closeness. Amen. I didn't say this last week. God brought it back to my mind. But when I walked in the room after my father had passed away, we went to get some medicine, my brother-in-law and I. And when we came back, my sister told me when we left, she said, Daddy may not be here when you get back. I said, don't matter. I said, if my daddy was here and I was in there and he thought there was something down there at the drugstore that would help me, he'd go get it, and we're going to go get it. And we come back, and Daddy was already in heaven. And I had a few minutes with my dad in the bedroom. And so help me. All I could say was, Daddy, it hurts so bad. Amen. But I thank God I had a relationship with my dad that I could say, Daddy. And beloved, listen, I don't know if God let him hear it from the other side, but if he did, I believe Daddy would say something like this. It's okay, son. It's okay, son. I'm in glory now. I'm in heaven now. Oh, beloved friend, the position that we have in the Lord. Let me give you this. I'm not going to go into all the detail for the sake of time, but it's obtained by faith. It's ordained to fellowship, but it's observed in faithfulness. You say, Pastor, I'm in Christ. You know what? I can believe you. Christ is in me. I can believe you. But you know how people are going to know that? By what comes to the outside. You see, God knows your heart. God sees your heart. God knows whether the blood of Jesus has been applied or not. You say, Pastor, where did you get that? Our position in the Lord is observed in fruitfulness. Look what the Bible said in verse 22 of chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Somebody knows Christ is going to love. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. Somebody knows Christ is going to have joy. As Sister Danita sang a while ago, somebody that knows Christ is going to have peace. Peace like a river. Amen. Somebody knows Christ is going to be long-suffering and gentle. And they're going to be good. They have goodness about them and faith and meekness and temperance. The Bible said against such there is no law. When Jesus said, let your light so shine before men. By the way, our light is Jesus. We have no light in and of ourselves. You and I are like the moon. We're just here to reflect the sun. The moon doesn't have any light in and of itself. It's just a reflection of the sun, S-O-N, or S-U-N. And you and I are just a reflection of the S-O-N. Amen. And so the Bible said, let your light so shine. And one passage over there in the book of James, the Bible talks about Abraham is saved by faith. He believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. But in another passage it says Abraham was saved by works. He was justified by works. You say, Pastor, is the Bible contradicting itself? No. In the eyes of God, an individual is justified by faith. God knows when you believed. He knows what you believed, who you believed on. And we're justified by faith in the eyes of God, but we're justified by works in the eyes of men. We don't believe in a work salvation, but we believe in a salvation that works. Let me give you this. I think I can quote it. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But a lot of people stop right there. For, verse 10, we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God already planned it out. When a person gets saved, they're supposed to have some good works about them. Amen. They're supposed to, beloved, be a reflection of His grace. Listen to what Watchman Nee said about sonship. He tells about a new convert who came in deep distress to see Him. No matter how much I pray, no matter how hard I try, I simply cannot seem to be faithful to my Lord. I think I'm losing my salvation. Nee said, do you see this dog here? He is my dog. He is house trained. He never makes a mess. He is obedient. He is a pure delight to me. Out in the kitchen, I have a son, a baby son. He makes a mess. He throws his food around. He fouls his clothes. Y'all know what that means, don't you? If you don't, you've never changed the diaper. He is a total mess. But who is going to inherit my kingdom? Not my dog, but my son is my heir. You are Jesus Christ's heir because it is for you that He died. We are Christ's heirs, not through the perfection of ours, but through the grace of God. Amen. We're children of God. When we're sons, because we're sons, we understand the purpose of the law. We understand our position in the Lord. But then I'll give you this. We understand the promise of liberty. Let me give you some things that God showed me here in the book of Galatians. First of all, we're talking about the promise. Let's look here in Galatians 3:18 for just a minute. Read a couple of verses of Scripture. In Galatians 3, verse number 18, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Let me tell you something about God. When He makes a promise, you can run to any bank you want to. Say amen. It'll be good. Amen. When God makes a promise, look at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 21 and verse number 22. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Amen. I'm telling you the promise of liberty. Look at Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 4 and 5. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. You say, Pastor, do you believe this was a result of the promise? Oh, yeah, it was promised way back here in Genesis chapter number 3. Say amen. Isaiah told us He was coming. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and be with child. Amen. The government will be upon His shoulder. They call His name Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I'm telling you, before He ever got here, God promised He was coming. You say, how do you know He's coming again? Because He promised. And He keeps His promises. Always. We see in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. God, beloved, listen. Listen, I love the word servant in the Bible. And many of the men opened their text with Paul, a servant, Peter, a servant, James, a servant. But I tell you what, God wants us to understand, beloved, there's something that's even sweeter than service, and that's sonship. Amen. Just to be able to sit in our daddy's lap, our heavenly Father, and fellowship with Him. You that are parents and grandparents, you know there's nothing in the world like it. Amen. Like having that boy or having that girl up in your lap. And if you want to get real good, have two or three or four of them in your lap at the same time. If you ain't got that many, I feel sorry for you. That's your fault. It ain't mine. Say amen. But I'll tell you, it's so good, amen, to fellowship with them. It's so good when one of them's got a sucker. It's slobbering going all over your clean shirt. Say amen. And so one of them got a piece of chocolate, and it's a going everywhere, and they look up at you and say, Papa, I love you. You know what I want to do? Hallelujah. Amen. Slobber all you want to. Amen. Yes, sir, there's times when you and I make a mess, but God wants us to just fellowship with Him. Amen. And come to Him and be a blessing to Him as He will be to us. Promise of liberty. Then verse chapter 4, verse 9. But now, after that you have known God. I love this. Or rather, are known of God. I asked somebody years ago. I can't remember who it was. But they were pretty knowledgeable in the Scripture. I said, do you know the Lord? And this man looked at me and he said, that's really not the important question. He said, the important question is, does He know me? I'd never heard anything like that before, but right there it is in the Bible. But now after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? You know what some people do? Here's what they do. They trade the bondage of sin for the bondage of religion. That's all they do. They don't understand the liberty that we have in Christ. Amen. They just trade one bondage for another. Amen. They jump out of one frying pan right into another. And this is what the God, that really every religion in the world falls under two tents. Over here's a tent that says do, 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 do. And over here's a tent that says done. It is finished. At Calvary, Jesus paid the price. Amen. Under this tent, there's liberty. Amen. I'm going to tell you some things about that liberty. Number one, that we can stand in this liberty. Look at chapter 5 and verse number 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Here come them Judaizers trying to pull them right back under the law after they have been saved by the grace of God. And God said, no, don't do that. Stand under this tent. You don't belong under that one. Stand in the grace of God. I'm going to say this. I didn't know whether God would have me mention it or not. I won't mention a name. There's a young man in our presence this morning. He's been playing upward ball over in Johnson City. And there's a multitude of people flying pride flags. You know what he's hunting? A Christian flag. I'm going to tell you something right now. That takes some guts. That takes some grit. And we need to pray for a young man that is standing in the middle of that mess and fly that flag. Amen. Say amen right there. I praise God, beloved. Listen, all the young people in the world ain't went to the dogs. There's still some that realize they're sons. There's some that still realizes, oh, glory, their daddy is bigger than anybody else's daddy. Their daddy, their heavenly Father will take care of them. Oh, you say, preach, that young man might lose his life. He'll be like Stephen. I believe Jesus will stand up and salute him as he comes home. Stand! It's sad, beloved, but I'm talking to a lot of adults that wouldn't do something like that. You won't do it at work. You won't even stand against the filthy jokes. I'm telling you, beloved, God said, having done all, to stand. How are you going to stand? Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. We can stand in this liberty. Number two, we can separate in this liberty. Look at verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. You know what a lot of people do? They get saved. They say, boy, this liberty's so good. And they treat it like it's a license to sin. I'm going to tell you something right now. Let me tell you what will happen. If you are genuinely a born-again child of God and you try that, you're fixing to get your legs strapped. Amen. Say amen. God said, whom I love, I chasten. Listen, he rebukes them and he chastens them. Amen. Listen, the grace of God is not liberty to sin and a license to sin. But rather, beloved, if you read the rest of the verse, we're going to separate in this liberty. In verse 13 here, the Bible says, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. That's what God wants us to do, to stand in this liberty, to separate in this liberty, and to serve in this liberty. Amen. That's what God wants us to do. We were servants of sin before we met Christ. And now he wants us to be servants of the Most High God. And God doesn't need anything we have. So we serve him by serving one another. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, thank God. Thank God. Thank God for sonship. Because you're sons. We understand the purpose of the law. We understand our position in the Lord. And we understand the promise of liberty. Now, you say, Pastor, what if a person doesn't understand these things? I've never seen this before. But God's just going to show us in the book of Galatians a few things. What happens if you slip, if you get out from under the tent where you belong and you start slipping back towards this other tent? You start slipping back towards a gospel of do's and a gospel of don'ts instead of a gospel of done at Calvary. Amen? Listen to me. I'll tell you what happens. Number one, in Galatians chapter 2, let me read the scripture. That way, you'll know that it's not something I come up with, but it's something God come down with. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Boy, there's liberty right there, isn't there? Look at verse 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. When a person doesn't understand the purpose of the law, their position in the Lord, and the promise of liberty, they frustrate the grace of God. I'm going to ask you a question. Anybody in this room ever been frustrated? Boy, I see some grins from ear to ear right now. Amen. I remember one time about got a divorce over being frustrated. Brother Rick, I'll just give this to you. Amen. You're going to need it. My wife turned that cornbread out. Brother Turtle, you don't want me to call you Brother Mike, I'll call you Brother Turtle. She turned that cornbread out and it tore all to pieces. I looked at her and I said, I was frustrated. I wanted a pan of cornbread like Mama used to fix. Had a good brown crust on it. Amen. And boy, you're hungry now, ain't you? I just messed up. I had a man tell me one time, we wouldn't mind you preaching to 12:30 if you'd stop talking about food. I'll tell you, my wife got ill. I was frustrated. You know what she done? She got on the phone. She was only doing one thing wrong. She wasn't preheating her skillet. That's all. But I'm going to tell you what. This went on for years, didn't it, honey? We've been married for years. Years. We still married, praise God. Amen. You want to look at the grace of God, look at me and her. Amen. Amen. I tell you, she found out you preheat that. And boy, she ain't never turned out another pone of cornbread without a crust since. Amen. She turns it over. Amen. Glory to God. The bad part about it is I can't eat it anymore. I mean, listen, when we started keeping house, I couldn't afford the good stuff. I mean, the donuts and the Little Debbies and the stuff like that. And now I can afford it and I can't have it. It's pitiful. This cycle of life. Amen. Can I get an amen? It's pitiful. Amen. And no, Brother Junior, I'm not joining the gym just so I can eat a donut. I done been told about you, brother. You go on. Amen. 93 years old in the gym. That might be why he's 93. Amen. Brother Grizzle got tired of going to the gym, just put a gym in his house, didn't you, Brother Grizzle? Amen. I bet you Peggy's been on that every day, ain't she? Amen. Right. She's saying, no, no. Frustrate the grace of God. Number two, Look at chapter 3, verse 17. When we don't understand these truths, chapter 3, verse 17, the Bible said, "This I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect." So what happens when a person doesn't understand the purpose of the law, their position in the Lord, and the promise of liberty? Not only do they frustrate the grace of God, but they make the promise of none effect. I'm going to tell you something right now. That's offensive to God. God said, we must believe. It's impossible to please. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, for we must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God's book is full of promises. We ought to get in there and mine them. Some of you ladies, if I told you that there's a diamond hidden in the pages of your Bible, honey, I wouldn't have to beg you to get in it this afternoon. You'd go looking for it. But I tell you, there's something more precious than gold, more precious than diamonds, right here in this old book, the promises of God. Number three, we fail to recognize who the real enemy is. When we don't understand about sonship, the purpose of the law, our position in the Lord. Let me show you what I mean. Look in chapter 4, verse 15. The Bible said, "Where is then the blessedness you spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. And therefore, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. They would exclude you that ye might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing and not always when I'm present with you." Let me say this to you. Listen to me carefully right here. Everybody needs to know this. When the preacher preaches something, one man said, "Preacher, you got all over my toes this morning." That preacher looked at him wisely and said, "That only proves one thing." He said, "What's it prove, preacher?" He said, "It proves I'm bad aim." He said, "I wasn't aiming for your toes. I was aiming for your heart."
Amen.
When a preacher preaches something, "Oh, Brother Jack, you say this." Thank you, Brother Jack. I'll use it again. "Brother Jack, you say if that rubs you fur the wrong way, turn the cat around." Now let me say, you say, "Pastor, what has this got to do with anything?" I'm telling you, when you don't understand sonship, these people, Brother Jason, are thinking that Paul is their enemy. The preacher that's preaching the Bible and preaching the truth, I don't care how rough it gets, he's not your enemy. He's the best friend you've got in this world.
Amen.
Outside of Jesus.
Amen.
Let me say this to you. A lot of people talk about Jonathan. And they talk about the friendship that Jonathan, the love that he and David had for each other. And by the way, there was nothing queer about that. Say amen.
Amen.
David was God's man. But I tell you, I'm not sure, I won't debate this, but I'm not sure that there wasn't somebody that was even more of a friend than Jonathan to David. And that was Nathan. He was willing to stand there toe to toe with him and say, "Thou art the man." Every one of us needs a friend in our life that when we're wrong will tell us we're wrong.
Amen.
Amen. Speaking the truth, the Word of God said in love. Amen. Listen, I don't know about you, but we're too far down the road for ear tickling. Say amen. We need the Word of God. And when we don't understand the purpose of the law, our position in the Lord, and the promise of liberty, we fail to recognize who the real enemy is. Your real enemy is not your brother and sister in Christ. There's one behind the scenes. Say amen. It's not your pastor. Kids, your mom and dad's not your enemy. When they're trying to steer you in the right direction, the day will probably come, Brother Jason, when the Board of Education will have to be applied to the seat of learning. Amen. And your little boy is going to be just like Mays Jackson was. He said, "Daddy would take his belt to me. And he said, Daddy'd say, son, this is hurting me worse than it is you. Brother Mays said, I thought, my Lord, somebody's got their signals mixed up. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, God loves us too much to let us go our own way and let us live in sin. When we're children of God, He's going to help us and correct us. Watch this now. When we don't understand, we fail to recognize the real enemy. Two more things quickly. We desire vainglory. Look in verse number 25 of chapter 5. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. You know what? I don't know, but I got to look at it here on my phone. How many's ever heard of Dottie Rambo? I've heard of her and I've heard her sing. I've heard the Rambo sing. And I always had a great respect for her. She's got a wonderful voice. I didn't know she wrote 2,000 songs. I didn't know that. She no doubt had a walk with God that was very, very real. And what I'm saying is, not only do we frustrate the grace of God, the promise is made of none effect. We fail to realize who the real enemy is. But beloved, when we don't understand our position as sons, if we're not careful, then we desire vainglory. I want you to listen to this. There's a young man here, you know I'm talking to. I didn't call your name a while ago. I'm not here to embarrass you, but I love you, man. You've helped this preacher. Amen. If you find that flag, I'll buy it. No, I won't. I'm broke. Miss Eve will buy it. I'd go get money for the kids off of her this morning. Dottie Rambo was born Joyce Reba Luttrell in Madisonville, Kentucky, during the Great Depression. She grew up in poverty and learned to play a guitar while listening at night to WSM radio in Nashville. At age 8, she started writing songs while sitting on a creek bank near her Kentucky home. She grew to excel as a singer-songwriter and greatly influenced the world of Christian music. Let me give you this. The reason that I'm reading this is because God, when I was studying, you see over there, we're talking about vainglory. Over there in the book of Galatians, that same book, Paul said this, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. And so when I'm studying, lots of times God puts a song on my heart. And I'm not like C.T. Townsend. I can't just start singing it, so I just look it up on radio and listen to it. Amen. Or on the internet, listen to it. And so I not only found the song. This is a song God put on my heart. I will glory in the cross, lest His suffering should all be in vain. And I ran across this. This is the history. This is the story behind the song. The Rambos, Dottie, her husband Buck, and their daughter Reba, went to Holland for a number of concerts. She told me when we got off the plane, people met us and took us to a little quaint hotel. As we rode along, the young driver informed us that while we were there, we were not to sing about the cross of Christ. I looked at the young man and asked, "Do you mean that we're not allowed to sing about the cross to these Christians?" He said, "No. They consider it gory. They don't want to hear about the blood or the cross." I then looked at him. I was old enough to be his mother. And I said, "Son, if you won't tell them you told me this, then I will pretend I don't know it. Because I will be singing about the cross and about the blood of Jesus." During the concert that very night, we sang songs that tell of Christ's gift of life to us and how He went to the cross in our place. People in the audience were weeping. Even the man who sent the message that we were not to sing about the cross of Christ. We went back to the little hotel that evening and to bed. I lay there in the darkness and began to weep. I said, "God, I apologize that we wouldn't want to hear about the blood of Christ, His cross and His grace. I really apologize." As I lay there, the Lord began to give me a song. I awoke the next morning, took my instrument, and discovered that the song had not been erased from my mind as I slept. And she wrote the words, "I will glory in the cross." I say hallelujah. I will say this, and I don't say this braggadociously. If you don't want to hear about Jesus, you don't want to hear about the crucifixion, you don't want to hear about the blood, you don't want to hear the Bible, and you sure don't want to be here, because this is a place where we look to the Calvary and we realize we're nothing without Him. And we realize, beloved, this old world may have turned to rock and roll, and they may have turned to a social gospel. You come in and you sin feeling good and leave and you sin feeling good. But we got an old law. It says, beloved, listen, God said, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Oh, you say, preacher, most of them, I'm in good shape. You only have to be in bad shape with one of them. Because you're, my friend, when you break one law, you're guilty of the whole law. That's what the Bible said. That's why we believe in something called Holy Ghost conviction. God don't come along and say, now, son, you told a little lie. Oh, no, 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 no. When a young man realizes he's lied, God throws a book at him, amen, and he understands he's dirty before a holy God. He's guilty before a holy God. He's on his way to hell, and only a holy God can save him, amen. When we don't understand, we frustrate the grace of God. The promise is made of none effect. We fail to recognize who the real enemy is. We desire vainglory. And then lastly, we fail to fulfill our mission as sons. What is our mission, Pastor? Look at chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. When we don't realize what it is to be a child of God, about our liberty, about our position, about our purpose, then, beloved, we will fail to fulfill our mission as sons of God. Look at the very next verse. It says, for all the law in verse 14 is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Look what happens when we fail to realize that we're children of God. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. You think about that for just a moment. When things go haywire, I told a man this week, it takes a much bigger man. I actually told two men that this week. It takes a much bigger person, a much bigger man, to say I'm sorry than it does to mess up. Amen. I mean that. Those might be the two hardest words in the English language to say, but I'm telling you, there's a sweetness when they're said from the heart. And forgiveness is experienced. There's nothing that I know of that's any sweeter. Amen. I told God the night He saved me, Lord, I'm sorry. And only He, Brother David, knew just how sorry I was. My heart was broken. I had offended a holy God. And God saved me that night. Watch this now. We failed to fulfill our missions. What is our mission? Look at chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man thinketh himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. There's no place for pride. If we ever see revival, pride's got to go. If we ever see God use us for His glory, pride has got to go. Amen. How many believes that this morning? Amen. I thank the Lord for His goodness. I thank the Lord for these scriptures. Chapter 6 and verse number 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Verse 10, this is our purpose in life. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And then verse 14, I'll close with this. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. How many is glad we can glory in Calvary? We can glory in the fact that somebody loved us enough to take our place. Every one of us in this room should have hung there. Every one of our children. James, Brother Jason, should have hung there. It's going to be a happy day when James understands my Lord loved me enough to take my place on that old rugged cross. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you today because you're sons. Lord, thank you for letting me be one of your boys. Thank you, God, for the times in my life when you've looked down like you did with Jesus in the garden. You said to an angel, my boy needs some help. God, you sent me help. How many times, God, would I have thrown in the towel if you had to come and strengthen me, helped me? Lord, it's wonderful to fellowship with you, with your people. God, I pray this morning, Lord, for those, Lord, that's neglected their Bible, neglected their prayer closet, neglected, Lord, to tell others how good you are. God, I pray this morning you'll work in our hearts. I pray, God, this morning for that man, that woman, that boy, that girl doesn't know you. God, they don't know what they're missing. They don't know the peace that passes all understanding. Help us in this invitation, God, demands you. In Jesus' name, let's stand together.